Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we're going to be looking at the judgment which will take place at the second coming as described in Matthew chapter 24 verses 36 through 42. These verses read as follows, "But of that day and hour no one knows, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." Today we'll look at this passage in the following three aspects. Number one, the general context of Matthew 24 verses 36 through 42. Number two, a general application of this passage. And then number three, a general outline for this passage for the week. So let's get to the context, the general context of Matthew 24 verses 36 through 42. This brings us all the way back to Matthew 24 verse 3 of the two questions the disciples asked. Verse 3 reads this way, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" So they asked two questions, a what question and a when question. The what question related to the sign of the Lord's coming. They're asking him, what is the specific sign which will precede your coming in presence and glory and power to establish your kingdom? They were under the idea that there'd be one particular sign that would indicate that the Lord's kingdom was about to be established. That is the what question. Then Jesus went on to answer that question in verses 4 through 35, and he gave them some general signs which will precede his coming, as well as some specific ones. Now when we come to verse 36, Jesus then answers their second question, the when will these things be? When will be your coming? And the answer to that when question is very simple. It could be described in one verse, in verse 36, where Jesus said, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So Jesus told them, no one knows the time of his coming, so we need to be ready at any point. I think that when you understand Matthew 24 as a response and an answer to those two questions, the entire chapter makes sense. So beginning this week, we're beginning to deal with the when question. When will the Lord come back? And the specific answer, which is very simple, is that no one knows, so be ready and watchful at all times. Let's move on to our second point, is the application of this passage. I have 3 points of practical application in relationship to the time of the Lord's second coming. First of all, don't be fooled. Don't listen to anyone that would say that they have somehow calculated the day that he is going to return. I remember back in 1988, there was a writer that gave 88 reasons why the Lord was coming back in 1988. Now, we could safely assume at this point that he was wrong. But the problem is that one of these books could have been written every year, in 89, in 90, then 2000 reasons, 2001 reasons. Just realize that it's a simple answer that no one knows the day or the hour. And if someone writes a book, that person is a no one, and they would qualify as being a no one, so don't listen to them. Don't listen to anyone that would say that they have somehow calculated with some sort of insight, whether they say they went to heaven or figured out some sort of code in the Bible, any of those hidden meanings. Don't listen to them. Jesus specifically said, no one knows the day or the hour. That just simply causes us to have a heart that's ready for the Lord's coming at any moment. The second point of application is don't be prideful. And I would turn to Mark chapter 14, verse 32, where Jesus adds an important insight as to the time of his coming. He says this, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son of Man, but only the Father." So when Jesus was here on the earth, he said that he himself did not know the time of his coming. And here is the perfect man, the Son of God, who did not know while he was on the earth the time of his coming. What would make you think that anyone else would know, any other man would know the time of the Lord's coming? That is a very prideful position to take, one that would even exalt yourself above the Son of Man. Now, this passage does create some difficulty in looking at how is it that Jesus didn't know something if he was truly God. There really is a very simple answer to that, and that is the fact that Jesus actually had two natures. He was fully human and he was fully God. He's the only person ever in human history that had two natures. We have one nature, and that is that nature that we received from Adam, which is a human nature. Jesus had both a human nature as well as the divine nature. And there's passages in the Bible that only relate to his human nature. So when he said he didn't know something, that would relate to the fact that he was the Son of Man, that he was a man like you and I, yet without sin. So when he said that he didn't know, it's a reflection of his human nature. And this makes other passages of the Bible very understandable as well. For example, when it says that Jesus got tired, that's a reflection to his human nature. The divine nature never gets tired. Also, he got hungry. God doesn't eat or doesn't have to eat. So those are scriptures which relate to the fact of his human nature. And we see from the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, and the reason I'm taking time to go into this is because the Jehovah's Witnesses do like to come around and say, see, Jesus was not God because here he did not know something. Well, we get an explanation of this whole aspect of the Lord humbling himself in Philippians chapter 2 in verses 5 through 9, where Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So he was in the exact nature of God, and he did not consider it a crime to declare himself to be equal with God because he was equal with the Father. Verse 7 says, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. So here in verse 7, which says that he made himself of no reputation, some of the translations say that he emptied himself. Now, that is not in reference to the divine nature. The divine nature never changes. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there is never a point in which the divine nature of Christ did not know something. For the divine nature of Christ to not know something, that means that he had ceased to be God. This passage does not say that he emptied himself in the sense that the divine attributes were not present in the divine nature of Christ. What it's saying is that as a human being, as a Son of Man, Jesus depended upon the Father, was obedient to the Father. We have passages which Jesus says, I only do the things that the Father shows me to do. I only say the things that the Father tells me to say. And this obedience is reflected there in Philippians chapter 2, that he became obedient to the point of death. So all the time, and it never changed in the Lord's entire life, is that he was fully God and fully man. And while he was on the earth, in his human nature, he is dependent upon whatever knowledge the Heavenly Father wanted to give to him. And at this point, while he is here on the earth, in his human nature, he did not know the time of his return. But I do believe, as Philippians 2 goes on to say, now he's been highly exalted. And I believe as he is now exalted at the right hand of God, even in his human nature, he knows the time of his return. But still, that's an appointed time in the future that no one knows. And for some man now to come along and say through insight, through prayer, through Bible codes or whatever explanation they would offer, they're exalting themselves above the perfect man, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. It is a very prideful thing to do. Do not fall into that trap. Do not fall into anyone that would say they know the time and when the Lord is going to return. Now, the third practical application is just be ready all the time. I believe really that's what the Lord's coming to here in Matthew 24. Since we don't know the day or the hour, in verse 42, he says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Then the rest of the chapter in verses 43 through 51 talks about that faithful and evil servant. The faithful servant is ready at any time, ready for the master. Although he doesn't know when he's going to come back, he's busy about his master's business, as Jesus told us to occupy until he comes. And when we live our life in this light, we don't have to worry about the end time scenario. We're going to be ready for the Lord's coming. We're going to be ready for the work that God's wanting to do within our life. And then that goes on to bring a greater purity in our life, as 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 describe. These verses read as follows. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has his hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So as we long for the Lord's return and his future work in establishing the kingdom, it brings a purifying effect upon our life because we're ready today. We're about our ministry that God's entrusted to us. We're faithful servants, and we're going to be found busy when the Lord comes back. And so we need to be those that'll be ready at every moment, whether our life would end through death or the Lord would come back and bring us to heaven to be with Him forever. In either case, the Lord wants you to be ready right now. And that's the main application that the Lord drives home here in Matthew 24 and 25. And we'd live this way, we have nothing to worry about. Now, it is interesting, just looking at human nature, what if you knew the day that the Lord was coming back? Chances are that we would live slothful until that point and think, well, I'll get ready right at the last minute. Example, when you were in school and you had to take tests, when did you study? Did you study months in advance or weeks in advance? Typically, people would study either right before the test or that night before. We call them cram sessions. That's man's nature. And if you knew the time that the Lord was coming back, probably you'd live off the visa, you wouldn't work, and then you would think, well, I'm out of here, and they're not going to be able to track me down, and there'd be a lack of the fervency and zeal for the things of God. So He keeps it as a secret, that we don't know when our life is going to end or when the rapture of the church will take place, so we need to be ready right now. And last of all, for our study today, the third point is just a general outline of Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 42, which will be the basis for our study this week. In verse 36, we'll look at the time of the Lord's return. Verses 37 through 38, we'll look at the condition of the last days. Then in verses 39 through 41, we'll look at the judgment of the last days. And then at verse 42, we'll bring a practical application to this section. I hope that you'll stay with us this week, because we have some exciting studies in the days to come from Matthew 24, verses 36 through 42.